Good morning, everyone. A very special welcome to our visitors and our guests. We're so happy that you're here. And if you're here with us for the first time, we hope you feel at home at St. Benedict's. It's great to have you. Scripture scholars, Bible experts, all kinds of wise people will try to figure out and help us figure out why it was that Peter denied Jesus three times. You remember that? You remember that in the Passion? Of course, Peter said, "I would never do that, Lord." But he did deny the Lord three times. Peter did. And I want to suggest to you that the answer is very clearly in today's gospel. Because the fact is, Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. That's the reason. So sorry, mothers-in-law. You know, there was a woman who went to church, and they had a long, long, boring sermon. The sermon was so long and so boring, and it was all about how Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and she had a fever, and the priestess went on and on with that for some reason. She didn't understand, and so she said, "Oh, I can't stand this. This afternoon, I have to go to another service to be inspired." And so she left her city church, and she went to the country parish. And when she got to the country parish, guess what? The country priest was away that weekend, and she had to hear the same sermon from the same priest again. So she heard the whole thing. She couldn't believe how boring it was. And at the end of that, she said, "Well, I'm going to have to go to another service. I need to be inspired." So she went to the hospital chapel where she knew they had a service in the evening. And when she showed up to the hospital chapel, the hospital chaplain was away. And guess who gave them service? Same priest again. She said, "No, this can't be. Three times in one day. Lord, what are you telling me?" So on Monday morning, she's going to work, and she gets in the city bus. And a few moments later, the pastor gets on the city bus and sits next to her. And he says, "Good morning, Father, good morning. Oh, I saw you a few times yesterday." "Oh, yes, yes, Father, yes, we coincide." "Oh, right." So all of a sudden, an ambulance passes by, and he goes, "Wow." He says, "I'm trying to make some conversation." He says, "I wonder who it is. I wonder who's going to the hospital." He says, "Oh," the lady said, "it must be Peter's mother-in-law, because yesterday she was sick all day." When you look at the first chapter of Mark, we have all these healing miracles. And for many, the miracles are about, wow, look what Jesus did. Sometimes we miss the point of the meaning of those miracles. Because I want to remind you of something. Jesus did not come to wow us. Jesus came to save us. Jesus did not come to wow us, but to save us. All of the miracles in the gospel are there because they're called to announce the kingdom of God. You notice how when all this happens in the gospel today, Jesus says at the end, "Oh, let's go to the neighboring towns." Did you notice that? Let's go to what we were called to do. In other words, he wanted to bring his friends together in order to go out and proclaim the good news of the kingdom. But I love these words. These words that speak of the healing, because these words tell us the key to the ministry of Jesus and the key to the church's ministry even today. He says, he lifted her up. Did you hear that? He took her by the hand and lifted her up. That's the key to the healing ministry of Jesus And it's the key to the healing ministry of the church, even today. Because here we are in the 21st century, and we are the body of Christ. And by our baptism, we are called to be the living body. And we're called to lift each other up. We are a living body for a reason. We have been brought together as a community of faith for a reason. Many confuse the church for some kind of social club. Others look at the church as an institution. I like to look at the church as the living body of believers. We come together because Jesus brought us together as he brought his first disciples together. If the church was about power, then Jesus and his disciples would have just sapped everyone. As a matter of fact, he wouldn't need the disciples. He could have done it all himself. But it wasn't about that, was it? It's about coming together to serve, coming together to heal, coming together to lift up what is fallen. Jesus lifted her up. We must lift up each other. Jesus made whole what was sick or broken. We must work for wholeness. I don't know how many of you remember the controversial memoir, A Million Little Pieces. Do you remember? It's a book that sold millions and millions of copies, believe it or not. It wasn't just A Million Little Pieces. It sold millions and millions of copies. It was a bestseller. And it was actually Oprah Winfrey in one of her programs that revealed that a lot of it had been plagiarized. I don't know if you recall. His name was James Frey. It begins with an interesting anecdote that I want to share with you. It says, the young man came to the old man seeking counsel. I broke something, old man. How badly is it broken? The old man asked. Into a million little pieces. Oh, I'm afraid I can't help you, said the old man. Why not? There's nothing I can do. Why can't it be fixed? The old man said, because it's broken beyond repair. It's in a million little pieces. One of the things that today's gospel gives us is the hope that all things can be restored, repaired, made new. One of the things that Jesus teaches us in the healing miracles is that everything can be healed. No matter how many little pieces, it can be restored. It can be made whole. And you and I are called to bring together our gifts, our talents, our energy, by the grace of God, because it's only by the grace of God that it happens, that we're able to be healers and continue the healing ministry of Jesus. I don't know how many of you recall the great Pope John. Remember Pope John the 23rd? John was elected when nobody thought he was electable. He was older. He was very, very heavy. As a matter of fact, when they tried to put him out on the balcony, you know, to greet the people after his election of Pope, there was no white cassock that would fit him. And so they had to put one that was the biggest one they had. All the buttons were wide open in the front, but they covered him up with something red, you know, to get on with what needed to happen. But his name was Angelo Roncalli, and he had been a diplomat and a cardinal. Actually, he was the Patriarch of Venice, which was a very important title. And he lived, as you can imagine, in a wonderful palace in Venice that had for centuries been the home of the Bishop of Venice. And he was sitting down with his priest secretary for dinner one night. Now you can imagine in a place that's that old, all the fancy china with the wonderful glasses, right? And the cardinal was having a glass of wine out of a glass goblet, which was fine crystal. And he was having his dinner, and the young priest secretary continued to tell him, without taking a break, about a priest that really was causing great scandal, a priest that had all kinds of problems. He was known to be having some kind of moral issues, and he continued to say, why don't you discipline him? Why don't you ask him to resign? Why don't you take care of him? And he went on and on and on. And the great Cardinal Roncalli looked at his priest secretary and said, Father, can you tell me something? Is this glass that I'm holding in my hand expensive? And he looked at him and said, Your Eminence, of course, it's very expensive. He said, really? It's pure glass. Is this glass mine, Father? And he looked around the house. He said, Of course, Your Eminence, everything in this house is yours. And he grabbed the glass and smashed it on the floor. Glass all over the place. Little tiny pieces all over the place. Now, Father, let me ask you a question. Is that priest you're talking about still my brother, even though he's broken? Is he still my brother? Is that glass still mine? Is that glass still valuable now that it's broken? And what about that priest? Is his life still worth something? See, the mission of Christians is not to judge what everybody else is doing or observe what the news are telling us about the world. No. We know we live in a broken world. We know we live in a world that needs healing. We know that we live in a time that needs to be made whole and restored in so many ways. We have people that are hungry and need food. We have people that have no home and need shelter. We have families that are broken for a variety of reasons. People struggling with addiction. I don't know how many times a week you open the paper or watch the news, and we have this opioid addiction and all these other addictions, all these things that are happening. That's all real. It's the brokenness of our world, the brokenness of our humanity. As Christians, if we believe that we are to build up the kingdom of God, we must do what we can to join Jesus in this healing ministry. He lifted her up. We're called to lift each other up. The good news is we don't have to do it with our own strength. We do it by the grace of God. We are the living body of Christ. The healing ministry of Jesus from 2,000 years ago is our ministry today. And yes, we pray for those who need healing in body, mind, and spirit. And yes, we try to feed those who we know need food and shelter those who need a home. But we must never forget that our call is to be the living body of Christ today. We must never forget that we have to be healers of each other. Because it is only when we use our hands, our feet, our voices to lift each other up that we're carrying out what you and I have been called to. This is a living body, the body of Christ, and you are a member of it. Oftentimes, we choose to look the other way. When we see bigotry and hatred and prejudice, it's better not to give your opinion. Well, I tell you what, if you and I don't speak up, who will? If you and I do not work for justice in a world where there's injustice, who will? If you and I, who are the living body of Christ, don't do what needs doing, who will? We must put our faith in action. We must put our faith in action. Right here, right now. God has put each of us here for a reason. We have talents and gifts and strengths that we're able to bring together in order to build up the body. For ultimately, that is what the church is. The church is not a place of judgment. the place is the church must be a place of compassion. The church is not just an institution. The church is a living body with living members, with people that are saints and sinners. We must build each other up. When the crisis occurs, rather than looking up canon law to see which canon I can apply, we need to look up the gospel of Jesus Christ and see where the compassion of Jesus applies. Because we're going to be judged by love. When you get up to heaven, I don't think Jesus is going to ask you anything about church rules. But he may ask you a little bit about the gospel. How did you live the message of the kingdom? How did you apply the message of the gospel to the reality of our times? Because that is the challenge for Christians today. Today we have a great guest here, Dr. Greer. Dr. Greer comes to us from a wonderful community organization, Hope for South Florida, that we've partnered with here at St. Benedict's, and we continue to partner with to help especially homeless families, mostly single mothers with young children who have nowhere to live. So Dr. Greer, welcome.